Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction tribe? Devin Tilley here, and we are building from episode number 1 and 2 with Cultivate Advisors on the entrepreneurial journey and how they are working with business owners from all over the construction industry to build this journey and how to navigate it. So let's continue this journey and hear more personal stories from owners in the same position that you have fought through the challenges we all face in the industry. And with the help of Cultivate, come out the other end a better entrepreneur and owner. So on this episode, we're going to get to meet Jeff Torin, who is from Kitchen Tune-Up, and finding out more about his story, what he does, and how Cultivate helped them grow. And if you're just tuning into the series, make sure you go back, rewind, and check out episode 1 and 2. Jamie, welcome back to the show. Here we go, huh? So tell me about how Cultivate Advisors and what you guys are all about.
Awesome. Thank you, Devin. Love your energy as always. So Cultivate Advisors, we help business owners get clarity in their business so they can make great decisions. And we're called advisors because we're kind of a mix between a coach and a consultant. So when we need to, we roll up our sleeves and we dig into all the stuff that entrepreneurs have to deal with on a daily basis. And also we're there for soundboarding so that we can help propel your business forward in the right direction. And really, we're here to help businesses grow and scale their businesses into what they really want so that also they can be in their genius zone. Because we're all great at some things, not so great at other things. Why don't we spend more time doing things that we really enjoy and love? So a large number of our businesses are in the trade industries. And our clients, we've shown with data, if you've been with us for 12 months or longer, on average, they're seeing a 65% increase in revenue and another average of 108% increase in profit. And as we say here, is that revenue is vanity, profit is sanity, and cash is king. So awesome. I'm so excited about today because we have Jeff Torin with us. Jeff is in stage 3. And as we've talked about before, we had on Nicole on the previous episode. She was in stage 1 and 2, has that hustler and experimenter. And now we're moving on to stage 3, the visionary. So looking at this with visionaries, what's exciting about this is they have a team of people. They have a vision they need to make into a reality. And really the main goal is motivating their team. They've realized the business is large enough, they can't do everything. So you've got to find a way to motivate that team and build those guardrails in there with systems in place to ensure that your culture is where you want it to be, and that the people in the company are getting those results that you set out to attain. So everyone here listening, if you don't feel like you've got a team and you're frustrated with your results, this is the episode for you. So Jeff is our guest today, and he is also the top franchisee owner for Kitchen Tune-Up. Now, Kitchen Tune-Up is the largest franchise for kitchen remodeling in the U.S. It has over 180 franchisees locations. Entrepreneur Magazine ranks them number 316 in the Entrepreneur Franchise 500, and also they were the top in their category. So now Jeff specifically, he's been in business with Kitchen Tune-Up for 5 years after a successful software sales career. And in his first year of business, he had the best year in Kitchen Tune-Up history with $600,000 in sales. Can you believe that? The very first year. And after that, he's doubled sales year after year. And he's done higher level revenue than any other Kitchen Tune-Up in franchise history by year 4. Holy cow. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Jeff, what's your favorite beverage?
So I'm going to give you a alcoholic beverage would be my favorite, and then my non-alcoholic beverage. So the two sides of life, of course. So my favorite beverage has got to be my daily requirement is my morning coffee. Got to take that. I can't have my day without that. My favorite weekend beverage, we'll call it, is I'm going to go with my mojito. like the Mojito. Nice. Very awesome. Refreshing in the summer.
Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Well, this is a tough one. There's a tie here, but I'm going to break the tie because of family. So my favorite place I've traveled is two places, and then I'll break the tie. So my favorite went to Italy on my honeymoon, which was heaven on earth. It was beautiful. But then my favorite where the tie got broken was Spain. We went to Spain about a year ago because that was a family trip. So that became my favorite place I traveled.
Awesome. Give us one story from your family trip to Spain.
Wow. It's impossible to give one story. We arranged a travel journey over 2 weeks across the whole country into so many different cities and parts in the countryside. I mean, every day was a unique thing that was arranged based on the interests and hobbies of my kids, of us, from, you know, yoga in the park to flamenco dancing to visiting the Real Madrid soccer stadium. So every one of my kids, we just kind of made it really unique and special. So it was just the most spectacular trip with food and sangrias and just one thing after another. So it was just a dream trip. And my favorite part of this trip, beyond that it was with family and that it was Spain, it was a culmination of the journey of our business, because after 4 years in business and being the slave to the business and always having your business getting in the way of life, this is the first trip I took that I did not get distracted by the business back at home. So it was a goal, you know, once we scheduled this, I had a year to plan to make sure that I had the right infrastructure and people in place. And then on this trip over 2 weeks, I think I took one phone call and barely looked at my email. So that would be my favorite part about it, is it really just kind of was a dream trip that was with my family that I was able to enjoy. So that was what made that special.
Outstanding. And what I love about that is that we're going to peel back the onion a little bit on that. And right now in this moment of time, it seems a little crazy with COVID when you talk about that trip, but also talking about freeing yourself up with systems. And this too shall pass, right? So this is a great series going through the five stages of the entrepreneurial journey, but we're focusing on those golden nuggets along the way. What's your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction silos we're breaking down that we passionately call the art of construction?
So in the journey we're on to build our business to reach the life that you want, and that's really what my goal is not just to have the business and be a slave to it, it's my favorite hobby, which I don't yet have the time and the means to do. And I grew up sailing. And so one day when you hear me or see a picture of me on a sailboat on the weekend or whatever it might be, you'll know I've reached to be able to enjoy my favorite hobby. Right now I've rented a boat for a long weekend and that was absolutely spectacular, but one day I hope to be able to do that more regularly.
Great stuff. Well, Jamie, let's get this thing rolling. I'm stoked to hear about the visionary as a serial entrepreneur that likes to say I love being a visionary myself. So I'm excited to listen and hear this conversation with Jamie and Jeff. Here we go.
Awesome. Me too. All right. Let's get the questions rolling. We've got some good ones for you today, Jeff, but I think we're all excited to learn more about your challenges and also the great success that you've had too. But as we all know, success doesn't happen overnight. It's a long-term process. And also as a visionary, you have a vision to start out the business, but sometimes things can change over time. So really my first question here is, what went into originally identifying your vision? And has it changed over the 5 years?
Sure. It's a good question. So obviously after having a career in totally different industry and I was successful, I was in software sales, enterprise software sales, very, very different than construction or remodeling. And so I was really, my dream was to have my own business, to build my own future and to not be beholden to making money for others, right? So the original vision and coming from a successful career where I had a good income, the original vision was more of, okay, let's get me out of the rat race to build something for myself and to be able to, get to the point where I could catch back up to where I was and then build an asset for my family and my future. So really the original vision was just the idea of being able to have our own business, to be able to be ethical, to really care about our employees, our customers, to pull it all together and to run a business in the way that really was to the heart and soul of my wife and I. My wife is partner in business. So it's being able to do business, to do it the right way, the way we believe. And the reason we got into Kitchen Tune-Up is because the franchise, as the business model we bought into, exactly was in alignment with us and having trust points and caring about both your employees and your customers and building that balance of life. And that's actually all built into their business model that they coached you and help you with. So the original vision was very much into that. And for me, being in a sales background, I was very much into driving growth and revenue. Okay. So it was all about breaking records and, you know, hitting numbers. And so I'd say probably the first 3 or 4 years of the business, I was very focused on that. So as you know, coming out of the gate, you know, I hit a really, really good first year, and every year I was all focused on that. But what I lost sight of, or maybe my immaturity in business, was, you know, I was going after that vanity of revenue, and I didn't have the maturity or the skills to really drive profit. And I think as I've gotten to a stable point where we reached a level of revenue that I think we have a strong team and infrastructure and people and everything, that now my shift has changed. And that's part of why I find myself working with you, Jamie, and focusing on, you know, helping build the systems to scale, to continue to grow. But more importantly than growth right now is trying to make sure that we're profitable so that I can create a stability for myself, for income for my family, and for my employees, and deliver a really strong value to my customers. And value doesn't mean cheap. Value means high quality. And to do that, we have to do things right. And so, easy question, but to kind of make it, long story short, really went from a sales driven concept to now, profit's what's going to let us deliver, quality.
Sure. And that revenue to profit, and so many businesses I see focus on the revenue because that's the brag number, right? This is what I did in sales, this and that. And I wish we walked around and said, hey, what was your profitability percentage? Were you 10%, 15, 20%? We were like, I don't know. So what an amazing shift for the long term. And a progression, it takes time. Again, it's not overnight, but thank you. Okay, question number two. How did you balance selling the dream and being grounded by data to get others to follow you?
Okay, another good question. And I think that is an ongoing balance, right? So I'd say the dream with my team that I've got here, and I've got very passionate people on my team that really care as the core here. And the dream is giving them the ability to kind of build, take the rails to where they want to go, to find the parts of the company or parts of your job tasks that you enjoy. I want people to think and have power and not have to. My goal, ultimate goal, is to not have every decision go through me. I mean, it's a work in progress. But so the dream of first being part of something special, which I think we've got, the ground of, built from the beginning to where we are now, so balancing that dream of being able to believe. I mean, every one of my employees know that the first guiding principle is every decision we make will be the right one for the customer. So, and a lot of times, I might be, foolish and giving away things to the customer, if someone's upset and, I thought I had this. I'm like, you know what? We're going to do that for you. So all my team knows that the decision at first is let's do our best. Every customer should be a positive reference. And sometimes you got to do that. So balancing that vision and now turning that into data. Now, what I've been able to do I guess it's kind of a little bit of my sales focus at first has been sharing that sales figures with my team. So I have a really deep spreadsheet where I'm constantly looking at this month's sales numbers, to last month to last year. And in our meetings, we're constantly looking at, guys, we're 100% over last year, same month. And that kind of, everyone gets really fired up, like that we're hitting goals, we're achieving. And I share that with everyone as a private company. You know, you don't need to. And I've seen a lot of other franchisees or other businesses, they don't. They keep that's private. Oh, we did 2 million. Shh, don't tell anyone. But if you don't tell anyone, they can't come along for the ride of that growth. And the growth is fun. Achieving goals are fun. So I'm constantly setting goals for the company that everyone's sitting down with me on a weekly basis at our weekly sales meeting. I'm like, guys, we're at 100,000 for the month. Last year we did 150. We're rocking it. Let's do 200,000 and show 75%, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm into the numbers like that. And now I'd like to, and you're actually, once again, Jamie's helping me, is we're finding new metrics to carry on forward, not just the sales number, because the sales numbers, we're back to the vanity. So in my development, I think we're looking towards what are those other metrics that we can track and share and all hang our hats on that then drive to the future of profit and stability.
Certainly, yes. And I think too is just building up, and I think we've got the 7 do or die metrics, not just the revenue. We do want to look at the revenue, cash, and accrual, just so we can kind of manage what's going on, but also what's under the hood here besides just the shiny car driving down the street. I want to know what's going on, and I want to know what on the dashboard, what we have to look out for and what's coming up, and if this is a healthy company or not. And, you know, and I have to do a testament to you, Jeff. I know after working with you since last year is you've had some difficult situations with some customers, and something about you is you always do the right thing. Like 100% of the time, and I know it hasn't been easy at times, but that balances everything out, you know, what we're talking about, and your employees see that. It ties then the values of why you're working at Kitchen Tune-Up with the employees and why they're there, and it all comes together really beautifully, and that's why I think you have done so well for such a consistent a number of years. So I just want to slow that down and say that. All right, question number 3. You're welcome, Jeff. Okay, was there a time you found yourself focused on the wrong thing or not utilizing the additional resources or people you did not have on the team?
Okay. I'm going to twist the answer on this one a little bit because I think it's another guiding principle of how I've grown. And it comes back to scaling, right? So I'd say focusing on the wrong thing has been me doing too many things, right? And I think there's been a few awakenings in the genesis of where the business has grown. So I'm a sales guy. I started as a sales guy. So at the end of our first year, after I achieved that number, and I was all proud, I was patting myself on the back, I'm like, oh, wow, this is great. And working with Heidi, the president of Kitchen Tune-Up, who was providing some coaching. She provides a lot of coaching to the franchisees, which really helps a ton. And at the end of the year, she's like, you know, you had a great year, Jeff. You know, kudos to you. You know, where do you want to go with this? And I'm like, I want to double. I had all these big things. She's like, the first thing she said is, you need to hire a salesperson. And I thought she was crazy. I'm like, I have a 50% close rate. How could I possibly do that? I can't let that go. And then she went through and looked at, well, what's your day? And it was like 3 sales calls and working 60, 70 hours, you know, whatever it was, because I was wearing all the hats, focusing on, you know, everything because I was a new company. And if I had stayed in that place, I'd still be fighting to be 600,000 to 800. It couldn't have grown. And so that focus in being in the wrong thing was myself. And then opening my risk and opening myself to get resources to scale and grow. And every time I've done that, it then pushes the whole company forward and reach new revenue levels and skills.
Yeah, I would just add to that, Jeff. I call that breaking through the ceiling. And sometimes you have to outsource inside what you think you're the best at, and that can really challenge you. And I think that's a big part of becoming a visionary. What's your take on that, Jamie?
Well, I agree completely, and we see this all the time. And there's a lot of behind this of why we do everything. Sometimes it's control. Sometimes it's just, how do I train this other person and know they're going to do a good job? how do I delegate this properly? And so it's almost like a releasing their claws off of something. But then when they are done and they've released it all out and they're in their genius zone, it's like a whole new world for them. And you see the business explode. It's just a magical process, but it's taking the hands off, not the wheel, I say, from where they were to a new direction. So, and Jeff has done that beautifully. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a second.
Yeah. And that process never, it doesn't stop. So, okay, I made that decision on a sales decision at the beginning, but then it comes into project management, or then comes whatever each of those tasks are that you freed yourself up from one. Now you still got too many hats, and then the business grows and each of those hats become big enough that you then have to find another let go. And the fear could not, maybe some people it's the micromanaging or being scared of letting go and saying I could do the best. But for me, some of those fears could be fear of taking on more overhead or more cost. And so some of my additional people I've hired, you know, I look at it and go, oh my God, I got to hire a project manager. Geez, that's a $70,000 position. How am I going to possibly cover that? And then, because I'm doing it, right? And then you hire that person. You're like, oh my God, I'm now free. That person's doing that job. Now I can go focus on other things and then add $500,000 in sales to the company because I thought of a new product line I want to sell, or I can do business development and make relationships or whatever. As you said, the genius zone I can find myself in, let go of the weeds that I was in, that is another job. And that's scary to do. And you have to keep doing it.
But certainly. And there's a leap in there. And there's a process you can go through to kind of minimize the pain and the distance of the leap for sure. But just like you said, I mean, the return on investment, it's there even more so, right? To move that over. So that's awesome. Thank you. Yeah. I do want to talk a little bit. I know we're coming out of, we're in COVID, but during that time, there was a lot of disruption in your business and somewhat of a transformation, what I lovingly called Jeff 2.0. So walk me through what changed during this time, or maybe just share a story, because there's a lot of people out there that I think can relate to having times in their business where there's disruptions. And I think your story is so powerful. So would you be open to sharing that?
Sure, I would. Absolutely. So I feel like I've had a few disruptions like that. COVID was a big, big, big one. And earlier after our first year, I had a similar disruption where it was a Trump election number one. We went from that great first year to we had a 4-month period where we didn't sell a contract. So all of a sudden, well, during the election period, everyone was all scared of buying kitchens from November to February. COVID was just the same thing. All of a sudden, boom, you know, the world stops on a dime on us. And what I learned in that first period and even in this one through, first off, is resilience. Okay. Heidi and you and others that I've learned to work with advisors and coaches and work with others to help you through those hard times. So the first thing is when you find yourself, and I'd say at the beginning of COVID, find yourself under the desk. So went from this amazing fun business and we're growing and we're doubling and oh my God, you know, it's so cool. And then all of a sudden, in our state in Pennsylvania, the governor shut down business one day. We went from boom. All of a sudden, we couldn't do any more projects, and we don't know when we're going to get turned back on. So all of a sudden, you hit a breakpoint beyond your control, and once you find yourself in that dark place where you're, like I said, under the desk. I mean, I hit a mental block where I was so excited, and then all of a sudden, the rug got pulled out from under me, and I'd like to say I stayed positive and this and that, and you know I didn't. I find myself negative and scared and it's just such a change. And I somehow held it together through my loving wife and my advisors and I held it together and I found resilience. And all of a sudden, once I got through enough of that, I found, all right, now I put my head down and said, what can I control? What can I make better? What can I focus on? Is it my team? Who's good? Who's not? Who needs help? Who needs training? started reading books, listening to podcasts, watching, doing all those positive things that I could to feed myself. And that's when I got addicted to podcasts, was during COVID. I mean, I've always been into the construction podcasts and bettering, learning, because I'm new in this industry, but I got addicted to it during this period. Cause I was like, I need to focus on what can I control and change? And I can only control my mindset, and I'm a mindset guy, and I lost it and I brought it back. So for me, to define that quote 2.0 version of myself, looking deep inside, I first looked at it and I said, I had vanity, I had sales, and all of a sudden COVID hit and I did not have profit to shore up the business. And all of a sudden I had to furlough all my staff, and that stunk. And it made me look and go, why in 1 minute did I go from this hugely successful to basically on the verge of like running out of money? So that led me to 2.0, going, holy smokes, we need to run the business every day so that we have a cash cushion, or we're comfortable and we run it carefully, financially. So that's one thing. And then the two was, where are those leakages, personally, people, process, whatever, that lead to that not being as profitable as you can and not having the control? And so those things led me through that kind of period. I think, Devin, you got a question for me?
Well, I just, a comment kind of question is, I just want to say how proud I am for you sharing that story of saying, looking yourself in the mirror and say, I raised my hand the same way owning a window and door company is having, it's so hard when things are, you're riding up and things are going great in the visionary stage, but then something like this hits, talk about a resilience check, So I commend you for talking through the reality that's what I was really excited to go on this journey with Cultivate, is because we're getting real with this thing, right? To say it's not easy right now. And Jamie, could you share the story with us that you're talking about? You're going to have to help me with this book about the kind of like war times. You told the story at a group we were at. Help me understand the...
Yes, was it the wartime CEO? You have
yes.
to be different. There's
yeah, like, and that's
CEO.
What, yeah, so... Yes. Yeah, if you can shed the light, and maybe Jeff can talk through that with the resilience about how, when we had another conversation with our AEC owners meetup.
Well, I think it's from the book, The Hard Things About Hard Things. If you haven't read it, anyone who owns a business should read this book. Just incredible book. And it talks about when things are good and there's growth. Like, for example, Jeff, you had an incredible February. I mean, off the charts, right? He was a peacetime CEO. Everything was going great. We're working on leadership and teams, recruiting, increasing the customer experience. But the other side of this, and what any entrepreneur is going to experience if they've been in business long enough, is being a wartime CEO. And a lot of CEOs right now, whether you are by yourself or you've got several people or a large team, this is wartime. This is looking at costs pretty close. This is looking at, are we profitable? This is looking at our cash flow projections, and really in the business, taking a flashlight and really looking, is that right? Should I be doing it that way or not? And slowing things down, maybe having to cut some people, furlough, whatever the case. It's not fun. And not everyone no one wants to do it. Some people are better wartime CEOs. But the point is that the entrepreneur that can shift, that's the chameleon, is going to be the most successful, because you can bounce between being the peacetime CEO and also the wartime very quickly. And it is a whole process in and of itself. And Jeff is a prime example of that, being an amazing peacetime CEO, and he had to flip. Now, there's a moment, like he said, I was hiding under the desk. We all have those moments, whether we admit it or not. Guess what? We all have them. And I appreciate Jeff sharing that for everyone out there. So, and then flipping over to that wartime CEO, which he did so beautifully. So, yes. So thank you, Jeff, for sharing. Really do appreciate it.
Great stuff, Jeff and Jamie. I loved that last story where we're talking through the wartime CEO, because it's just tough right now. And that's what I love, this journey we're going on with Cultivate, bringing out these real world examples and breaking through the ceilings on these different stages. So I'm so excited to be continuing this journey and take deeper dive into the five stages with Jamie and the rest of her team on these different specific episodes. Thanks so much for coming in and telling us your story, Jeff.
Thank you. It was nice meeting you, Devin. Appreciate it.
So Jamie, make sure the Art of Construction tribe, as everybody's getting so jazzed up, what's the best way for people to get in touch with Cultivate to learn how they can scale their business like Jeff has with your team?
Absolutely. Not only can they get in touch and learn more about us, they can take a quiz and find out what stage they're in of the entrepreneurial adventure. So stage one to stage five is a quick quiz, and it is at cultivateadvisors.com/AOC/.
Awesome. What an option. What an awesome option. And in the show notes, we'll make sure to have that on all the marketing material. So 2 free hours to check it out. Jeff, that's a no-brainer, right?
Absolutely. Awesome. That way you can see how it works and see if you like talking to them and if they can pull out how they can help you. Brilliant. You got to spend that time to see if it's for you.
Cool. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for coming in and sharing us your story. Jamie, what do we have coming up next? What's the next stage?
Oh, we have stage four, which is the systemizer. And the image of this is someone printing money. So I think a lot of people who have a team and are expanding way out, maybe different locations, it's going to be a great one. Lots of takeaways.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait to learn about how printing money works, right, Jeff?
Yeah, I like to get to that stage, Jamie. When can we go there?
We're working on it, Jeff. We got a plan. We're working on it.
All right, awesome. Cool. All right. Cheers. Crush it out there, Art of Construction Tribe.